We've been in a series entitled Marriage Illusions and Finding Clarity That Leads to Happiness in Our Relationships. And this morning we're going to talk about the parenting illusion and the idea that raising children will automatically draw us closer together. That's not necessarily true. It can, but it won't happen automatically. You've got to have some principles in place because raising kids can be a challenge. You know, you think about this time of the year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and gatherings and having people over and so on. It reminds me of the story of a pastor and his wife, and they decided to have a lot of their church leaders over and their spouses for just a meal and a way to show appreciation and get some fellowship in with them. And it was quite an undertaking having that many people over, preparing the meal and decorating the house and cleaning. If you've hosted, you know how all that goes. And so finally the day arrived and everybody came and it was time to enjoy the event. And everybody gathered in, and now it was time for the dinner. And so as everyone was seated, it was time to say the blessing and to pray and then to enjoy the meal that had been prepared. And the pastor's wife decided to ask her four-year-old daughter if she would pray. Now, just kind of a side note, that's never a really good idea. But that's what she decided to do. And so the girl looked up at her mom, and she was like, "Mom, what do you want me to say?" And her mother looked at her and just said, "Well, sweetheart, just say what I say." And so everyone bowed their head and closed their eyes and folded their hands. And the little girl prayed and said, "Oh, dear Lord, why am I having all of these people over anyway?" And not exactly what her mom thought she was going to say. And sometimes parenting doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. Now, overwhelmingly, and certainly according to the Word of God, children are a blessing. They're not a burden. But we assume that joy will be brought automatically to our lives and to our relationship just by having the children. And certainly, if you are in a marriage that is struggling and maybe theorizing, well, if we have a baby, it'll kind of, you know, settle our differences and our difficulties and everything will be fine. That's not true. If a marriage is struggling, you add children to the mix, it has the potential even for more struggle. If a marriage is strong, it's not necessarily going to get stronger just because you have children. You have to have some things in place, locked and loaded for that season of life. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, children demand so much focus time. You think about all the different stages. We have a little baby in class this morning, and certainly at that age, there's times where they demand your attention, and they're going to let you know it until you give it to them. And then as stages of life increase, Suzanne and I were sitting down with our four kids last night, and we do what we call special times. That's kind of our family altar or devotional time. And I sat down with one thing in mind to do, and we ended up doing a totally different thing. And Suzanne and I were laying in bed last night talking, and we were like, what do we do in this situation, you know? And you're going to face all kinds of things in life where you're going to have to ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment. And how do we handle that? How do we navigate that? What is it that we should say? And so we need strength in our marriage relationship as we strive to be the moms and dads that we should be, so that children in the home strengthen the relationships that God have given to us. Now, what does God's Word say about all these things? Well, notice in Psalms 128, verse 3, "Thy wife," the Bible says, "shall be as fruitful vine by the sides of thy house." So I'm going to give her fruit, and you're going to be blessed with children. The Bible goes on to say, "Thy children like olive plants round about thy table." So I'm going to bless this home and give the fruit of the womb, and there's going to be children all around the table. And now the two of us have become the three or the four or the five or the six or whatever. Now we have a family. Now all of us here sharing in this household together. That, by the way, is God's blessing. Life is His reward, but managing that is a challenge. And every mom and dad in the room knows what I'm talking about. It's a day-to-day challenge managing the gift of life that God would give to every father and to every mother. And how we manage that opportunity greatly determines how relationships respond to God's blessing. Now, Proverbs 31 speaks to the virtuous woman who really handled life with excellence. Whether it was her marriage, her walk with God, her children, her industriousness, everything she did, it prospered. And there are some characteristics about her that we can learn when it comes to strengthening our marriages through the journey of parenting. Notice in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. It's interesting. It was hard to find back then. It's hard to find today. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth food. She bringeth her food from afar. Drop down to verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. What a great description. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Boy, interesting. What elevated this woman in her time and in the time in which we speak of today? Well, she had the fear of the Lord. Her husband and her children were known in the gates by this woman, by the way she lived. We see in this passage her priorities and her passion. We see in this passage that she had embraced a purpose that God had given her to live out, and God richly blessed her for it. So as we talk about relationships in our class, as we talk about parenting today, how can we see the relationships in our life strengthened when two become three and beyond? Well, let's look at a few things this morning that will help us from God's Word. Number one, we must first understand God's perspective. We must first understand God's perspective. Now, you and I were created by God, and the guys told me this morning the screens had a malfunction, so we're having an old-fashioned day today. You're going to have to learn to spell on your own, all right? So Google it or whatever, and whatever you got to do, raise your hand and I'll spell it, all right? So understanding God's perspective. Now, you and I were created by God. God created marriage. God created the family. Life is a gift from the Lord. And so we want His perspective on this. How should we manage it in our home according to His will? Well, here's how it's built. First of all, letter A loving marriage is intended for a lifetime. So if a husband and wife are going to be strengthened through the journey of raising a family, what are some bedrocks? What are some foundational principles they have to have in place from the very beginning? They must understand that a loving marriage is intended for life. The Bible says in Matthew 19, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. What God has joined, man is not to put asunder. Man is not to divide. This is God's plan, and it is to be for life. Listen, there must be the bedrock in your relationship of commitment. As the Lord blesses a family with children and the gift of life, it's wonderful, but it's extra responsibility, it's extra pressure, it's extra stress. How does the marriage thrive, flourish, and even strengthen through those years? By the bedrock of commitment and understanding that our marriage is intended for a lifetime. And we want to make sure that the way that we're operating the marriage, the way that we're talking in the marriage, the way that we're planning in our married life, that it indeed is intent for life. And that's going to be a commitment to constantly work on ourselves and stress that commitment and devotion to our spouse. And the best way for our marriage to improve is often to work on ourselves. A couple was struggling in their marriage and finding difficulty at every turn, and so decided, well, we need to go to a marriage counselor. They set the appointment. They went to the counselor, and they sat down, and the session began. And so the counselor said, well, oftentimes couples find it easy to blame one another, so what I want you to do is I want you to focus on yourself, and I want you to answer the question, what have you personally done that has contributed to the problems that you're experiencing in your marriage? And the counselor called on the wife to answer first. And she said, well, for me, it was getting angry, it was being prideful, growing impatient, and at times even being jealous. And the counselor appreciated the honesty and then looked at the husband and said, "And what have you done?" And he said, "Well, for me, it was marrying her." And sometimes that's kind of the way we look at things. We're just like, you know, the problem is them and that's it. And that's not it. Oftentimes the problem is when we look in the mirror and we have to work on ourselves. Dennis Rain in his book said, "Your marriage must be built to outlast your kids." It's interesting when you find a marriage that is so intertwined in the children that it's almost lost when the kids are out of that stage of the home. Our family was around my parents this Thanksgiving on Friday, and my parents have been empty nesters now for several years. And it's fun to watch a couple when they get to that stage of life because there's a lot of carefree and different things that you can do when you don't have the responsibility of people under your roof and depending upon you for their survival and their every need. But sometimes people get to that stage of life and it's not fun at all. It's miserable and very empty because the marriage wasn't built to outlast the kids. And it was just kind of holding on because the kids were there. And then when the kids were gone, that reason was gone. And it was very shallow indeed. And so we want to make sure, what can we do in this season of life? Make sure it's built on the bedrock of commitment one to another. And then recognize, letter B, that children are a precious gift from a gracious God. Psalm says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Happy is the man that have his quiver full of them. Boy, if God has blessed you with children, be thankful for that. You say, "Yeah, but you should see my home. You should see their room. You should see the pile of bills. You should see all this stuff." Friend, I get it. And I understand. But children are a precious gift from a gracious God. How are you going to navigate this season successfully and enjoy it and live beyond it by having God's perspective? And when God blesses you with a child, the gift of life, it's a precious gift indeed. And that's how you want to view these years that you have. And by the way, you're going to blink and the years are going to be gone. We were doing some family planning over the holidays and we were thinking, good night, Mariah's going to be in the 11th grade in the fall, and we've got just 2 years left, and we wanted to get this in and do that, and just kind of thinking and planning. The end is in sight, and we want to be sure we cherish every moment and recognize that indeed they are a gift from the Lord. But then let her see that our purpose is to prepare our children for a God-centered adulthood. To every mom and to every dad in attendance whom God has blessed with the gift of life and children, our purpose in their life is to prepare them for a God-centered adulthood. Proverbs 22:6 is an amazing promise. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You say, "Gabe, I've seen Christian parents raise kids, and I've seen them get older, and I've seen them leave the faith," or whatever the case may be. Listen, the Bible says it will not depart from it. It's going to be in them forever. Now, they may on their own decide for a season to be away from the Lord, but they're never going to get away from what was instilled in them. And oftentimes, if it really was instilled in them, you'll see them come back to the Lord with repentance and a desire for restoration. So what does that mean to you and I this morning as moms and dads in this room? It means that we need to be strategic in making sure that we are preparing our children for a God-centered adulthood. And I think we all could reason this morning that if they're not growing up in a child God-centered time, then they're not going to have a God-centered adulthood. In other words, if God is not the center of their life today, what makes us think that God will be the center of their life down the road just because that's the way it's supposed to be? That is the way it's supposed to be, but it's not going to be the reality unless it is the way they are trained. And we want to make sure in your home and in mine that it is a God-centered home. Notice the responsibility that God lays on the shoulders of fathers in Ephesians 6:4. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath," but do what? "But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Dads, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Nothing wrong with teaching them how to carve the turkey or make a pumpkin or throw a football or a snowman or hit him in the face with a snowball or whatever it is you want to do. There's nothing wrong with all of that. But the most important thing is to teach them the things of God. That you, sir, open God's word and teach them in your home. That they see in you a walk with God that's real, that they can emulate, that you're modeling for them faith that is authentic and is desirous in their own life. This is our job. And ladies, the Bible says in Titus 2, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. I guess you could have a little. Teachers of good things. Just kidding. Just seeing if you're listening. That they may teach the young women. That's this class. The young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. God says, dads, I want you to train. Moms, I want you to love together as a team, instilling them in a Christ-centered life. Dennis Rainey said, the ultimate goal of parenting is to release your child someday to become dependent upon God and interdependent with others. A dependency upon God. That is our mission. So what is God's perspective? A committed husband and wife, instilling the principles of God's word in their children. But then secondly with me this morning, let's look at understand how to strengthen your relationship while parenting. Okay, Gabe, we're in the trenches right now. We're raising a family and it's got a little bit of a strain on our relationship. Have you ever gone and done the go-karts? Anybody ever done that at a place, maybe Mulligan's right over here? We had Joseph's 10th birthday and he got some friends and we had some family. And so we went over to Mulligan's. And we did the little birthday party thing. And part of that included getting out there and doing the go-karts. Well, I got out there and I told the guy, I said, now, sir, listen, I paid for this. And I want you to put me in the fastest car on the track. He said, absolutely, no problem, I will. I said, all right, good. Well, one of Joseph's buddies was there. He was not quite able to drive the car on his own. So he and I were going to be in one of those two-seater deals. And he was going to pretend like he was driving and I was really going to be driving. So they got us all, we had 12 or 15 of us out there. He got us all going. We were going to go and do a 5 or 7 minute race. I had the slowest car on the track. Now, he started me off first. I was thankful for that because I could fend him off for a little bit. But by the time we ended the 5 or 7 minute race, I was dead last. And I went to the guy and I said, buddy, what did you not understand? I said, put me in the fastest car. You put me in the worst car on the track. I mean, I was smashing that pedal down into this frame, and I'm just barely puttering along. And he apologized and whatever, and I wrote him up to his man. No, I didn't. But anyway, and we teased, and I walked off. But have you ever been in a situation like that where you're kind of trying to go along, and you just feel like you're pushing as hard as you can, and it's only going as fast as it can? And sometimes in the family dynamic and in marriage, when you're raising a family, it can feel like I'm pushing down as hard as I can, but life is passing me by. And the load of this on our marriage, I can just feel a strain. And where I feel like we should be going a little quicker and a little further and a little better, it's just not. Okay, well then what are some things we can do in this season of raising a family to strengthen the marriages that God has given to us? One quote, your children need to see your devotion and commitment to your spouse even more than they need to see your devotion and commitment to them. So resolve conflicts with your spouse, forgive each other, remain faithful. These qualities of love build a powerful, profound sense of security in children. They need to see you doing well. What are some principles to apply so that they can? Letter A, settle early on where you stand on the issues of life. Amos asked, can two walk together except they be agreed? Think about, are we together in the area of faith? Is God's word the final authority in our home? Are we both in submission to it? Where do we stand on the moral values, on time together, on the finances of the home, on entertainment and recreational choices, dating guidelines, educational choices? The list could go on and on and on and on, but settle early on that. Are we together? Are we in unity? Are we on the same page? Children can sniff out when parents are not. The home I grew up in, if you went and you asked dad a question, you got an answer and you didn't like the answer. And so then you went to go ask mom the same question, you'd automatically get a spanking. Done. And it was a brutal one. I mean, you couldn't sit down for a week. And I'm still alive today. It's an amazing thing because I got more than one of those. But that was an automatic deal in the home. If you go ask one parent and you get an answer, there's no reason to ask the other parent. The answer is the same. The idea was, the home I grew up in, mom and dad established very early on, we are in agreement. If you try to divide us, you're gonna be hurting. Because there's no division of mom and dad. And by the way, my mom and dad have been married 42 years. And they've got four kids in their adult season of life who love God and are happily married and are rearing families. None of us are perfect. We're far from it. But there were some principles instilled from a very young age that were biblically based, powerful, and effective. One of them being that mom and dad are together. That there is a synergy in this marriage relationship that cannot be altered no matter how many little ones are in the home. And it is very important that you settle early that we're on the same page, that we're going in the same direction, that there's a united front given to the children. Letter B, maintain a unified front as parents. So as you settle early on these issues, maintain that unity going forward. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one to another. In Ephesians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Make sure you maintain this unity. Say, Gabe, how do we do that? A couple of thoughts. I think you have these there. How to maintain a united front. When you disagree, do so privately. When you disagree, you say, we never disagree. You're a liar. All right? Every relationship faces challenges. Every relationship faces moments. What's going on here? Why did you say that? You know, where did that come from? Whatever. There's going to be moments where we're not on the same page. We're in a season of disagreement. There's no clarity here. That happens to everybody. Don't feel like we're the only ones in this room that even face that. No, you're not. All of us face these things. But what do? You get together privately. You discuss it privately. You maintain the united front. Discuss potentially divisive issues ahead of time. If something's going to be divisive, figure it out. We were traveling some this holiday season. I told Suzanne, I said, honey, going through a drive-thru anymore for me is like I can just feel my hair turning gray. It's crazy. We've got four kids, Suzanne and I, everybody's got a, you know, special order this, super size, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, you know, Tim Hawkins has that thing. It's like, here's $50, just fill the bag of food and we'll figure it out. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, that's the stage of life we are at now, you know. It's crazy. And we learned a little thing. We learned before we even get up to the window and the poor lady's like, sir, are you there? You know, what's going on? To figure out who's going to get what and order it. Ahead of time, discuss things that will help bring unity. Avoid conflict, conflicting expectations regarding your children. Confer with one another before answering on some occasions. Don't side with your child against your spouse. Never, ever, ever, ever side with your child against your spouse. So some things that will help you maintain unity. Letter C, do whatever necessary to get regular time together as a couple. Whatever you've got to do to get some time together, get some time together as a couple. I gave you some ideas, praying together before rest, reading a book together, grabbing breakfast or lunch while they're at school, taking a walk together, hiring a babysitter, going for a date, going to the couples retreat. Man, coming up on February 7th and 8th, I want everybody in our class to go. It's going to be a great time together. Calling the grandparents, get an overnight getaway, take a second honeymoon. Do whatever you can to get time together. A man left work on Friday and it was payday. And he took his paycheck and he went out all weekend with the boys. He went fishing, and they messed around and had fun, and he spent his entire paycheck in just a few days, finally getting home late Sunday night. Well, certainly he was confronted with a wife who was not too happy, and he had not communicated where he had been. He had spent all the money. It was quite an ordeal and quite a discussion that they had for almost 2 hours. And finally, at the very end of it, his wife just said to him this, "Sweetheart, how would you like it if you did not see me for 2 or 3 days? And he kind of answered in an egotistic tone, well, that would be fine with me. Well, Monday went by and he didn't see his wife. Tuesday and Wednesday the same, and the same result, did not see his wife. Finally, on Thursday, the swelling went down just slightly and he could see her through the left eye. So I would just encourage you, work together to get time together. All right, letter D, share in the responsibilities of parenting. share in the responsibilities of parenting. Two are better than one. Whether it's the changing of the diapers, the preparing of the meals, the school functions and homework and study, whatever it is, be a team. Share in those responsibilities together. Thirdly, as we close, understand one another's roles. What is my role as a father? What is my role as a mother? There needs to be biblical clarity and understanding. Let me give these to you as we go. Letter A, the biblical role of the father. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Eugene O'Neill in his book said, you do not build a marble tower out of a mixture of mud and manure. If you want something great, you've got to put the right ingredients in. So dads, what is our responsibility? First of all, to be a manager. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Think about the children that God has given to you. What will their future be like with your influence and imprint? You're managing their potential. You want to be sure that you're doing it with the skillfulness of hand, that you're managing the opportunities and the gifts that God has given to them. But you also are a minister. The Bible says, hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. I love church. I love everyone who invests in my children and the things of the Lord. But you know whose responsibility it is to teach my children the Bible? Mine. And one of my roles as dad is to be the minister, and it is yours as well. And may God help us to do it well. And then thirdly, we're to be a model. We're to be an example. We are to be a pattern. We're not going to be perfect. And by the way, neither will our children. So they need to watch us in our imperfectness, follow God, and be consistent and be faithful. If you weren't in the 8:30 service, you're in for a blessing at 11. It was such a wonderful message this morning that challenged my heart. I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of our God, and I want to be faithful in my life as well. So we want to make sure that as dads that we are working to manage the home, to minister to our children, and to model. But then let her be the biblical role of the mother. In Timothy, we read, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The godly heritage of mothers investing in their children. Barbara Rainey in her book said five goals to accomplish as a mom. That your children will know that you love their father, that you love them, that you will sacrifice for them, that they will be a top priority in your life, and that your home will be a priority. And of course, all of that is only possible if Jesus Christ is a priority in your life. So, what is God's perspective? Well, the marriage is to be permanent, and the home is to be governed by the Word of God. How can we strengthen our home, and particularly our marriage, while raising a family? That's a challenge. That's a big challenge. But we can do it if we will strive for unity in every area. And then, how can we excel as fathers and mothers? By understanding our biblical role. To every person in this room whom God has blessed with children, God has an expectation of you. God wants you to be the right father and the right mother. And He will teach you from His Word how to do it. But He wants you to embrace that in this stage of life. And may every one of us this week decide, Lord, would you help me to be the parent that you would have me to be? Help me to leave an impression on my children that points them to you for a lifetime. And we'll praise and thank the Lord for that.